Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's installment, we're going to be hearing about the legacy of Fred Uran, an artist, musician, and storyteller whose mission in life has continued as his legacy after his passing. Every once in a while, an individual comes around who is able to bridge their passion with the goings-on of everyday life. And even as the world changes, that connection continues to unfold throughout the community. Recently, during St. Cloud's Granite City Days, there was a new addition to the Family Fun Day held at Lake George on Sunday, June 24th. And that addition was the Fred Uran African Arts Day. And as we hear from some of the people that Fred touched during his life with his music and his art, I think it will become quickly apparent why this legacy-funded event was more than just a hit with the kids. It is also an illustration about how art can help soothe racial and ethnic tensions within a community. As was Fred's mission in life, as he came to the United States in the 1980s as a student from Cameroon and continued to live in the area as a teacher, artist, and musician who touched the lives of hundreds. So we'll start out today's untold story of Central Minnesota, the legacy of Fred Uran, with the words of St. Cloud Mayor Dave Kleiss, just before he got to dancing with the impressive African arts crowd that congregated that day.
It's nice to have bring this event, for Fred's event and the African art, on part of what's part of our Granite City Days. This is 4 days for us of a tradition that goes back, Granite City Days goes back 11 years, but the tradition of having the festival goes back 161 years because we've always had a festival. Every community in the world celebrates. And it's so important as we celebrate Granite City Days that we celebrate the very many different cultures and really highlight the arts, which is important to me. I've been fortunate, as a hobby more than anything else, I've been fortunate to travel. I've been able to travel to 92 countries in this planet, and I've been to a number of African countries where I have experienced the art. In fact, just recently, several months ago, I was in Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Botswana, and South Africa. I've been to Nigeria, and we'll be going in the spring, the winter, to Ghana and Kenya. So I'm looking forward to, and the rich culture, the art, is something that really it tells the wonderful thing about art, it tells the story of people, and that's an important piece. So I am very honored to have this again for Fred's African Arts Day as part of our Granite City Dells Day celebration. I came in at the end of the lecture, unfortunately, but I just in 10, 15 minutes, I learned more than I always do, and that's the thing. So thank you for being here, and I know some folks have traveled quite a distance, too, so I appreciate that, too. And while you're here, if you've traveled a distance, please buy some things so it adds to our tax base and our economy, so that always helps, too. We appreciate that more than anything, but enjoy the day, enjoy the rest of this festival, but even more, get out and enjoy what we have to offer here in our beautiful community. That is enriched by so many cultures that have made this place their home. We appreciate that very much.
The day down at Lake George is full of kids' activities, music from multiple stages, and workshops where folks sometimes from very far away had come into town to express just how important of a teacher and an artist Fred Uran was and exactly what that presence means to a community.
Just to be able to show you some things in the African culture in general, right? One of the things that the taught dance is represented for, and I know you asked them what makes it unique or why is it called taught. This is some of the things that it's called taught, right? This is, hey, Yom Kimbala, you guys there. This, it's tough to be able to translate the name to English, right? But it's almost like I'll call it a dancing stick, but unique for itself because it's, if you take a look at it, it's made in layers, right? It's made with different layers, and we have significant amount of this. Every dance in Cameroon and more in West Africa in general. It has a completely separate steak that's used for it, but it's also decorated differently. So this is always decorated just for the door dance. Okay. No other dance uses this specific type of steak. Right. Now, this one is a little bit unique because it's made out of, it can be made out of a couple of things. It can be made out of a cow tail or horse tail, right? And this is used predominantly in every dance in the Bui Division and in most parts of West Africa. It is just a decorative dance instrument that's been used. Mm-hmm.
There are smaller ones that we use when we are dancing a dance called Nja. And it means to support the dance, right? It adds the rhythm to it. Now, whoever is holding this is, the person is playing a bigger role. When, you see, you were given this.
Yes.
So it's used also as an invitation. So they bring it to you to signify you've been recognized.
Thank you.
All right? And then an invitation, please join the circle of life.
Yeah,
so it is very good in like saying, hey, don't stand out there, don't be a stranger. Right. We are not strangers, we are one people. Mm-hmm. Join us.
Now while he's looking for a coin, one of the things that I wanted to point out, and I think one of the things that the mayor did declare the day as for Year and Fred. Fred was a strong promoter of our culture. A lot of the things you see, and I know there's a tent out there, you would see the drums that he carved, right? He carved them by himself, and he did things the same like the ones we use. So our culture here in Minnesota and our culture in the States, Fred in our tribe had a title that was called Informing, which in some sense he's gathering people, right? He is the one that gathered people together. He's the one that makes sure that we remember all of this. I grew up in a completely different era than he did. And without him and our stewards in our culture, we couldn't remember some of this. So for us, it is more than just the declaration of the day as a day dedicated to his artwork. To us, it's a declaration of his day for his artwork and his remembrance of culture, because it meant a lot to us. And we couldn't choose a nice day to come out and do this, but it is a big deal in our community in the recognition that he got.
And that was a couple of the speakers from the Boy Cameroon group that gathered from as near as the Twin Cities and as far as North Carolina. And next on the untold story of the Fred Uran African Arts Day, another one of the teachers in a workshop designed for storytelling and the teaching of storytelling. Here's Danielle Daniel with a story about a young man, his hubris, the advice of the elders, and what happens when you don't follow that advice.
Arubay was very proud and very honored to have his father cow tail switch. So he took the cow tail switch and he said, I will make my father proud. And he ran into the village and he says, look at me, everybody, look at me. I am now the keeper of the cow tail switch. His friend says, Arubay is not nice or bad. Arubay says, you're just jealous. Look at me, everybody, look at me. I am now the keeper of the cow tail switch. And they kept saying, Arubay, it's not nice to brag. Now one day Arube said, today I am going to laugh in a lion's face. I will make my father proud. Now the elders heard it. The elders in the village, they're the keeper of wisdom and knowledge. So when the elders heard this, they called to him, Arube, Arube, Arube. Arube went to the elders and said, yes, my elders. Arube, what is this we hear? You planning to laugh in a lion's face? My elders, I am now the keeper of the cow tail switch. I will make my father proud. I'm going to laugh in a lion's face. The elder says, Arube, you must listen to us. For we know wisdom and knowledge. You must promise us that you will not do such a foolish thing. Now Arube looked the elders in their eyes, and he said the words, I promise. But as soon as he walked away from the elders, he forgot his promise. I'm gonna laugh in a lion's face. Well, these people told these people, told these people, told these people. And his mother hurt me. And his mother, she was angry. Arube. Yes, my mother. Arube, what is this out here? You planning to laugh in a lion's face? Mother, it is the brave thing to do. I will make my father proud. Arube, that will not make your father proud. You must listen to the wisdom and knowledge of your elders. and the teachers. Don't laugh in Anaya's face. Harvey looked his mother in the eyes and he said the words, "I promise." But then he went back out into the village. Now he noticed that the elders, the keeper of wisdom and knowledge, they were busy talking. They were talking about yesterday's news. And who said what the woman would say? He sneaked past the elders. He sneaked past his friend. And he went into the forest looking for a lion. He found a great big lion sleeping in the tall grass. He tiptoed up to that lion. Ha ha, ha ha. Lion kept his eyes closed and did not move. So Otto Bay went to the side. Ha ha. Ha ha. The lion did not move. So Arbay, feeling very brave, with his cowtail switch in his hand, went to the front of that lion. And he laughed, like he said, "Ha ha, ha ha." Lion kept his eyes closed, but opened his mouth wide. And all that was left was the cowtail switch. When Arbay did not return home, the hunters went looking for him. His friends went looking for him. And his mother. I say to you, my friends, on this day, at this time, in this place, never ever laugh in a lion's face while he's sleeping on the ground. That story is different from European stories. And when I first moved to Minnesota, most teachers didn't like me to teach that story or tell that story and use it in the classroom because there's a depth in the story. And so I could remind them the story is not real, but it's to remind us the importance that our elders play in our community and that we must always listen. But the story has a message for the elders as well as the children, because the elders are the keeper. That's the African proverb that we all are the keeper of the children. And so, it reminds us of respect, but also in the classroom, when Otto Bay goes to the elders, what is one of the things he does first? Anybody remember what I did? He bows before the elders to show respect.
So what's your name and then what do you do?
My name is Karin Rao and I'm a music educator in St. Cloud. I work at the Worth Center for the Performing Arts downtown St. Cloud here. And I teach private percussion lessons in addition to West African drumming, West African dance, and a Zimbabwe marimba group, which we're also adding an adult Zimbabwe marimba group this next coming fall. So we have a bunch of authentic drums from Ghana and Guinea that I've brought back from several of my studying trips there. And we have African dress that we wear that's from Ghana and Guinea that we make and have for our performances. And we do a big spring gala performance. We just did one here in May. But look for us next year as well. We're the Worth Center for the Performing Arts.
Nice, nice. Did you meet Fred when he was around?
You know, unfortunately, I just moved here last year, and so I was just heard through word of mouth about him, and I was never able to meet him before he passed away. So it's been a pleasure to meet his wife and the community he started here, and I'm hoping that I can be a part of that in the future. This is the first time I've been connected with people of the Cameroon community, and it was just really eye-opening to see all the people that came out, and I didn't know that there was there's as much of a community here as it is, and so just making the connections with people and meeting people was really big, and I had a really big feeling of being welcome here, and
yeah, right on. And that was Karin Rao from the Worth Performing Arts Center here on the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota and the Fred Uran African Arts Day. And the Worth Performing Arts Center is a good entryway into not only African drumming, but any of the other arts as well. And you can find them online at worthcenter.org. And Worth, of course, spelled with an I. And another good entry into the world of music and art that was deeply inspired by Fred Uran is the Boys and Girls Clubs of Central Minnesota. And specifically, Buddy King, who tells us a little bit more about the man who became his mentor here in St. Cloud.
Who is Fred?
Fred Uran. Oh, that is the greatest guy in the world. Fred Uran. I met Fred. So when I moved up here originally from Kansas City, my auntie Deborah Lee introduced me to Fred. Fred and her were really good friends. He became my mentor. So she found out, she told him that I played drums. Been playing drums all my life. But never, like, just high school, marching band, that jazz band, that kind of stuff. So he introduced me to African drumming, which was something that I did all the time without even knowing it had a name to it. So I remember the first day I met him. I walked into his house, and I walked down the stairs, and it was the really skinny stairs. I don't know if you've ever been in a house that has the skinny stairs when you're going
those
down.
Those older homes.
Yeah. He had the really skinny, and I'm like, okay, how's this going to work? But as soon as you hit the bottom step, he had this big, huge, had to be about a 3-4 foot drum that he had made that was carved. And it was absolutely the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. And by nature, I just had to tap it, you know, a couple of times. So I began to tap it and play it. And he was like on the other side of the room, and he picked up some other drum and he started playing with me. And we just kind of bonded, you know, like it was, it wasn't even we said hellos and all the formal introductions upstairs, and he was like, yeah, let me show you my drum collection. And we went downstairs, and like there was no words said. It was all music, you know, and we had an ultimate connection. And I think that was the moment when he realized that, like, yeah, I need to take him under my wings. He's going to be something special, you know. And we just kind of went from there. And so we worked a lot. I did a lot of venues with him. So I watched him go into schools and do stuff. So he used to teach how to carve. He would make a xylophone out of wood. And he would literally, like, show the kids right there. He would take a piece of wood and he would carve it while he was talking to them and show them how the different wood and how you create the different sounds. And it was super amazing. It's simply just like making a C cut in the middle of the wood, and depending on how you chip it, gives it a completely, it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I've taken that when I seen that, and that's what I have been trying to give ever since. Now, I don't have the wood carpentry experiences that he has. He did teach me how to, the drum set that I had, not the drum set, but the drums that I had at the Urande, then was me and him all redid those. So those originally done and given to us by a guy by the name of Ken Perkins, who was with Multicultural Kids Art Connection at the time, which is no longer available, but who was ran by Deborah Lee and Hetty Tripp at the time. And so they had these drums that were just so beautiful, but they was just old and just kind of worn out. So he decided to like, buddy, let's just redo them. So we redid them, and it was awesome. So I was telling a story at the show that we walked into his house, and the buffalo hide that he had to get was fresh and new, and oh my God, the smell I will never, ever, ever forget in my life. But it was part of the work. It was part of the progress. It was part of the process. And so I really, truly enjoyed it. So, yeah, I think I answered your question. But Fred was an amazing, amazing, amazing man.
Well, he carried a particular energy with him.
Yeah.
Because I'd been to one of his performances classes before. Mm-hmm. I was asked to go by a friend, and I'm like, guy who makes drums, what? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll come along. That sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, not really realizing what I was getting into. And then I'm there. I was like, whoa, this is amazing. Yeah. He's, you know, there he is, literally this ray of sunshine.
Yeah, for sure.
It was so cool, just because it brings this community together. People mm-hmm. start drumming, like you were saying, just that immediate, that first meeting, mm-hmm. you just start drumming, and there's this communication that mm-hmm. goes on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he really tapped into that, and he promoted that, and it was fairly amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how is that drumming and, you know, this process of making drums, this whole thing, how has that influenced what you do with Boys and Girls Club?
I think it originally started with, you know, just the opportunity for me just to come in and work with the kids. I started off as a volunteer with the drumming group. And me not having no experience and not understanding what an African drumming group really was or any of that. So I leaned on him a lot to show me different stuff. And so he would introduce me to different people and he would put me in his different drumming circles. And I was learning all these different techniques and all these different rhythms. And soon, one day, I think I was just trying way too hard. And he said, "Buddy." And I don't, I can't talk like Fred, but he just had this really unique way of talking. But he was like, "Buddy, you need to just stop and allow your heart to just play. You think with your brain, but you don't think with your brain. You play with your heart. Your heart is what leads you, you know." And he told me that, and it stuck with me. And I think from that moment, that's kind of where I began to really flutter, morph into a better player, a better teacher, a better understanding of just what I was doing. I realized it wasn't about the techniques. It wasn't about the rhythms. It was about the communication. It was about, like you said, it was about the communication. It was about that pulling what was on the inside and pulling it out in a way that other people can understand it and feel it and receive it, you know. And that's what one thing I talk about all the time is that music is one of those languages that everybody can hear.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's the Stevie Wonder lyric, this whole song right there. It is. Yeah. That song itself is, so you start picking apart those lyrics, and it's just like, this is music theory. This is the reason behind all of this, and it's kind of cool. And when people tap into that, it's really neat. So, you know, Boys and Girls Club, you guys have these performances, basically. You've got groups that are doing this.
So I had a group. No longer do I have the group because they've all graduated and they're in college. Yay. So yep. I'm really proud of myself for that one. But I've been with that group for, most of them was in fourth grade, I believe, when we started. So I had them for 8 years plus. And so the first year we was new. We was learning, you know, there was cute little kids that was doing stuff and it was awesome. But as I began to grow, they began to grow. And we became wanted in every area. We had, at the time when St. Cloud and the surrounding area was really starting to realize what diversity and what culture really was. That was one thing I can say about Fred. At the time, he was a game changer. Because before that, there was no one really doing cultural anything, especially coming from an immigrant like he was at the time. So for that alone was huge for the area. And then what we was able to bring was to bring kind of a different energy that built on top of that while everyone was like, okay, I do want to learn what culture is. I do want to know about African history. I do want to know about diversity. We do care. It's not White Cloud anymore. You know, we're really trying to expand. We really want to know. So me and the kids, we was all over St. Cloud. We went to every school and performed. We performed out in Holden Fort, Sauk Rapids, Sartell, everywhere. And then we even went down to the governor's mansion and performed for him. We was invited out to the University of Wisconsin and performed out there. St. Cloud State, obviously St. Cloud Tech, just everywhere. And the kids, and what was awesome was to watch them grow into this. So it started off with me doing all the songs, teaching all this. And as they begin to get older, so I want to say once they hit upper middle school or high school, they was creating their own music. But it was awesome, and we had it. It was just, we had a great, great mix. And never did I think, oh, these kids are going to graduate, buddy. You should probably start another group. Never did I think that.
Well, that is that tricky thing. Because if you think about it, there's a transitory nature to the organization. They grow up and move on.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oops.
Missed the boat on that one. So starting in October of this year, I'm going to revamp a group again. And we'll start with the fourth grader group. Is my youngest, and then I'll take whatever age comes in between. But I'm definitely want to redo it, and anyone that's interested in joining, please, you know, come contact me here at the Roosevelt Boys and Girls Club. But we are going to start in October and kind of get this thing going again because I really do miss it.
Yeah.
And that was Buddy King from the Boys and Girls Club of Central Minnesota. For more information on this and the plethora of other programming offered at the Boys and Girls Clubs of Central Minnesota, you can find it on their website at www.bgcmn.org. And finally today, on the untold story of the Fred Uran African Arts Day, we're going to talk with the widow of Fred Uran, Jeanette Uran, as well as co-organizer and local musician, Christina Seaborn.
So who was Fred Uran? Where did he come from? What was his history? And what did he do here in the community?
Fred Uran was my husband. I'm the widow of Fred Uran. Yeah, and he was an artist. Originally from Cameroon, but lived in St. Cloud for a good long time. St. Cloud was his home, basically. Moved here since the early 80s and has been teaching art, African art, in area schools and in neighboring Wisconsin, too. He basically, he also does some other things. He's a musician. He was a musician. Did bead making, carving, and lots of other things. So he taught African values through the art that he shared with area students through drum making in particular. He made a lot of drums with students, and he would use African symbols to share the African values that he wanted to teach, and basically emphasizing global connectedness, which actually was a highlight of the theme of the event that we held, because it aimed to celebrate global connectedness in all of us, in all humanity, no matter where we come from. We have something common in all of us. We all love life, we love family, we love peace, and, you know, he basically shared things like this that were universal and much more. Since we don't get to see a lot of African art in the community yet, we think it's a good way to introduce it and share the rich culture that African immigrants are bringing to the community.
Well, Fred Uran did a residency in my music classroom at Madison Elementary School when I was a teacher there, and he told the kids to have respect for the musical instruments, and then he told stories, and he really demanded that respect from the students before they got to play the drums. And I have so many photos from that residency where the kids are in rapt attention while he's holding up some amazing instrument that he's carved out of wood, and he's demonstrating a mask or a rattle. Well, the Central Minnesota cultural landscape is changing as more immigrant and refugee groups settle in the greater St. Cloud area. In fact, we're now seeing the next generation of African immigrants in our region take root here. They're graduating from high school, and many are choosing to stay here for college and taking professional jobs or becoming entrepreneurs. At the same time, there is a significant community discord that has been especially exacerbated by the local Crossroads Mall attack and the media residue, global events and immigration policies, and the negative political rhetoric that portray a distorted and disheartening image of Africans and immigrants. The complex nature of the merging of African and American culture is a work in progress that can be softened by the arts, especially with young people. This project was envisioned for the young people, so we had a huge component of it that was for the children. It goes both ways, that we learn from each other. I think one of my favorite things about the African community is that they embrace the elderly, and grandma is in charge of the garden, and she tells you what to do, and she is always there. She is not locked up and put away someplace. She is part of the family. She stays at home, and she has actually some authority and some command with the family. So I think we have something to learn from each other.
That was Christine Seaborn and Jeanette Uran as we wrap up the untold story of the first annual Fred Uran African Arts Day in St. Cloud in partnership with Granite City Days Family Fun Day down at Lake George. And for some extended interviews with Christina and Jeanette, as well as with Buddy King, you can find links on our website at kvsc.org under the Podcasts and Untold Stories of Central Minnesota tab under the page for this story. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. It has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of Amperz, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.